Cal Poly Humboldt has announced that it will name its new acting president at the end of March, following the resignation of former president Tom Jackson Jr., who stepped down in the summer of 2024. Jackson served as Cal Poly Humboldt's president for 5 years and was the university's first Black, Filipino, and Native American president. However, his tenure was also marked by controversy, particularly after student-led anti-war protests and a campus occupation escalated into a massive law enforcement raid involving hundreds of officers. Jackson officially left his position in August 2024, and since then, the California State University system has been conducting a national search for a permanent president, with a final selection expected to be announced by the end of March 2025. In the interim, Michael Spagna has been serving as acting president. To better understand his role, the aftermath of Jackson's resignation, and the future of Cal Poly Humboldt, we spoke with him in this interview.
My name is Michael Spagna, and I've been in the Cal State University system for going on 33 years now. Originally trained as a teacher, I'm a former middle school teacher. My specialty is dyslexia and special education. Worked for many years in that field. And then I started at Cal State Northridge in 1991 as an assistant professor, eventually became a Eisner chair for the Center for Teaching and Learning, became a dean of education at Cal State Northridge. Then most recently, I was provost down at Cal State Dominguez Hills down in Carson, California. And then recently, I was chosen in August to come to the campus as the interim president at Cal Poly Humboldt. And it's been my pleasure and honor to have joined the community here in Humboldt.
It has been nearly a year since students barricaded themselves inside Siemens Hall, while hundreds more gathered in the UC Quad to protest the war in Gaza and demand that the university divest from Israeli-affiliated organizations. With protests and unrest now seemingly quieting down, we asked the acting president about the current campus climate in the aftermath of these events.
Actually, I think all of us in higher education experienced a lot of disruption in climate in the spring. So this affected us nationally. It affected us within the Cal State system at differential levels. I'll say at Cal Poly Humboldt, I'd say that it was a pretty serious thing that happened here in terms of protests. And I think there's a lot of healing that had to happen on the other side of that protest in April. And so when you say that the campus climate's been a little quieter, I think it's more about getting back to our mission at the California State University, which is really, we're all about education. We're about supporting young people, our students, coming through, making sure that they are assertive advocates. We often say to students, we want you to be the change you want to see in the world, but that requires an educational component. And so one of the things we really focused on campus in order to heal and promote our mission is to really scaffold and make sure we have supports, particularly for students that are trying to find their voice, that are trying to engage in free speech, that are trying to be transformed in terms of their education. So although you characterize it as it's kind of quiet right now, I think we're actually serving our mission. And we've stood up several structures at the university that are helping students be able to meet those goals of finding their voice and being able to be in community. So we have a free speech support team that's been put in place to provide education and guidance in terms of what is free speech. We also have a community engagement team that we have been promoting that is led by faculty, staff, and students to be engaging students in their education. So quiet from my standpoint is that students are getting their degrees, they're studying, and they're also having opportunities to exercise free speech. And we've had activities in the fall, several vigils, several protests, and they have all gone the way the protests should. Students being able to express themselves in free speech, but being able to do it in a way that effectively they're able to fine tune it. So once they graduate with their degrees, they're going to be effective change agents out in the community.
Concerns have emerged over the intersection of anti-war sentiment and anti-Semitism. Last year, we spoke with a local rabbi who stated that the student protests were not anti-Semitic and that conflating the two was both harmful and irresponsible. The rabbi also pointed out that while the university condemned protesters in the name of protecting the Jewish community, it had previously ignored reports of actual threats against Jewish students. With these concerns in mind, we asked the acting president how the university differentiates between acceptable activism and harmful rhetoric, and what measures are in place to ensure the safety of all students, regardless of their ethnicity or religious beliefs.
Yes, well, I think that that's really, really important. And the differentiation you make, I fully embrace. And so one of the things I'll make sure you do is you get a copy of a communication that I put out, and this was at the end of October, which was entitled Empowerment Through Inclusivity, Transparency, and Communication. And it really, for me, it differentiates what you're talking about. And again, just to quote from this communication I sent out, let me be clear on this point. Hatred or discrimination in any form is antithetical to our core values. We unequivocally condemn acts of bigotry, violence, threats, or behaviors that harm our fellow human beings and tear at the bonds of this community that we share. This includes verbal or physical attacks on anyone based on their religious identity, ethnicity, gender, cultural practices, or political views. While the university can direct resources and support to harmed individuals, it takes all of us to reinforce our vision of a community where such acts are prevented. The idea here is that, especially coming out of COVID, students are in places now where they're seeing some pretty awful things happening in the world. And so one of the things we want to try and do is make sure that they're able to express themselves as they encounter these and they try and navigate them. However, what is out of bounds are any personal attacks against fellow human beings, as I said in that communication, against students, against faculty, against administrators, against staff. So that's something that we are very vigilant about, and particularly as you were talking about Jewish students, I've been in consultation with several rabbis in the community, spiritual leaders, about what can we do to ensure a safe, healthy environment for our students. And also, you might want to look at one of the things the system has set up is a universal time, place, manner policy. People talk about this a lot, but it talks about the boundaries of what is in bounds for free speech, what's out of bounds for free speech. And I think it's important for everybody to familiarize themselves with what those boundaries are. And we are making sure that we are observing those boundaries. For instance, one of the things we have is we have public areas where we allow free speech and we allow spontaneous protesting. We have other limited spaces, and then we have non-public spaces. We also have times in terms of when you can have public protests and so forth on the campus. So these things are more to guide, serve as guidelines for students as they express themselves. But as you brought up, we're being very careful to make sure we're monitoring our environment. So again, it's a healthy learning environment for all. And once it impacts an ability for a student to feel that they're being threatened or they're in places where they can engage in healthy learning, that's something where we're going to intervene. And we'll be very direct about that.
Looking back, we ask how the situation, particularly the campus and law enforcement response to the protest, which escalated after more than a week, could have been handled differently by all parties involved. Additionally, what new protocols have been implemented to ensure that similar situations are managed more effectively in the future?
I'll restrict my comments to my observations. Again, I joined the campus on the first day of instruction on August 26th. I've been spending a lot of time with the community here at the university and the community external to the university talking about the events of April. And one of the things that I think all of us can learn from are the notions of what different choices were made at the time, what were the consequences of some of those choices. I don't think anybody in the entire community was pleased with the outcomes of what happened in April. So there is a lot of discussion about continuous improvement, reflections, conversations about what happened, and most importantly, what's action planning that we need to do going forward. I will tell you the thing that I really embrace about Cal Poly Humboldt is this has always been a university of activism. Historically, there has been activism through generations at this university. I recently was able to honor the class of 1975 that in a previous generation had been protesting the Vietnam War. So the change here that happened in April was that when that protest happened, it disrupted the university environment. It disrupted our mission of being able to confer degrees. And when that happens, and when commencements are disrupted and classes are disrupted and athletics are disrupted, no one feels good about that. So the reflections we've been doing, and we're starting with professionally facilitated conversations, are what were reflections? What were lessons learned? What are things we want to make sure we do differently going forward? And I'm satisfied that this community has the intention of doing that. And my job is to help guide that conversation so we can get back to where we were before April, which is, again, a campus of activism, of free speech, but in a place where we don't disrupt the mission of the university. And last thing I'll say is that, again, first and foremost, what's our job? Our job is educating students and conferring degrees. And so what we always have to remind ourselves about is that that's our primary mission. So what are we doing to provide that education? And it's not just education in the classroom. In the classroom, we do things and teach disciplines that wind up giving competencies and knowledge and skills for people to get degrees. But it's also important, what do we do outside of the classroom? And how do we educate students and develop critical thinking and the ability to change your mind and to be able to have discourse with each other, even with those you disagree with, but at the same time, you have an elevated sense of self and an elevated sense of the issue. And I think that we're getting back to that. And I think the university is being reminded, all of our community, about the importance each of us plays in that mission.
We were just speaking with Michael Spagna, the appointed acting president of Cal Poly Humboldt. The California State University system continues its national search for a permanent president, with a final selection expected to be announced by the end of March 2025.
I want to tell you, my overwhelming sense here is that everyone wants this university and community to win. Everyone I've met, from previous generations of alums to current faculty to current staff to students that have graduated 50 years ago versus students that are in the pipeline right now, everyone wants this university to be all that it can be. And my job is to make sure we stay on that trajectory. We're in a very exciting inflection point. There are only 3 Cal Polys in the entire Cal State system. I'm very proud to say that it's wonderful to be at a university that's in this inflection point of a conversion from Humboldt State University to Cal Poly Humboldt. And it's my honor to be here as we do that inflection point. And so the best days are yet to come for this university. It's over 100 years old. I'm looking forward to setting the trajectory along with the new president that'll be chosen in March for keeping us on that trajectory. The economy needs it, the community needs it, the state needs it. And obviously our nation needs really strong institutions of public education that can keep our society moving forward. So I'd end on that note, and I'm very optimistic and very excited about being here at Cal Poly Humboldt.
Special thanks to Lauren Schmidt for the production of this news story.